ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different stuff. Obviously, high school hoops will be top of mind. We'll get into the regional tournament results from yesterday and last night. Who's playing today, what time, and we all know where to watch it. We'll just tell you what time it's going to be, where the games are going to be played. NBA's at the All-Star break. Got a bunch of different questions I want to ask Jared as we move along into the middle of the show. And then, are the Saudis trying to ruin the PGA Tour? Have you kept up with any of this?
Nah, I got some of it. But
I read an article this morning detailing kind of what's going on. So we'll talk about that, too, with the tournament at Riviera. Tiger spoke this week. Doesn't sound like he's anywhere near playing professional golf again. But he did say he will play professional golf again. So,
well, there's hope.
A little bit of insight. I can think of a place where I'd like to see him.
Yes.
Coming up in May.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you and I will be on the grounds.
Absolutely.
Same day?
I got Sunday.
Nope, not same day. We'll be gone.
I couldn't
by
pass
then.
Up championship Sunday. I couldn't pass up the final day.
I think I'd rather watch it on TV.
I'm kind of dreading it. Because the plan is drive home and then get here Monday morning.
There'll be plenty to talk about that day. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with us on KADSAM.com, or you can download the app. Paragon Communications app has everything. 3 radio stations, Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News on the website, thepennynews.com, or go pick up a free copy of the print edition of the Penny News, all kinds of different places from I-35 all the way out to Amarillo, Texas. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV will be full of high school basketball playoff action today. We'll detail all of that coming up next. And then the Skinny on Sports podcast, if you're out of touch with the live show, you can go back and listen to what we had to say, and you can find those on KADSAM.com or iTunes.
Yeah, good luck on Facebook. They keep flagging our posts, saying it's against their standards.
They think what?
I don't know.
Skinny?
I don't know. Problem? I don't know.
You're using terms.
I wish I'd get some clarity, and I'm trying to dispute it, you know. Like, I don't know, you have to file an injunction. I mean, you dang near need to get a lawyer to do all this stuff. Like, no, we're not posting inappropriate stuff. It's just our podcast. Are they listening? Go, you know what? We don't agree with their views.
Probably. At the end of the day, that's probably what it is.
Or it's just an algorithm where they a machine listens to it, and then some cue words are cueing them off. And
Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon.
Brandon. Oh, this one's
Brandon,
flagged.
Brandon, yeah. Yeah. Anywho.
So, Jared, tell us about your night. Looks like, if you looking at the scores, you had a couple of really good games. Unfortunately, neither one of them went Canute way.
But first and foremost, I want to talk about the latest episode of South Park. I got home and watched that.
Now, fire off.
End of the day, Cartman lives in a hot dog now. It's hilarious. Anywho. Okay, let's jump into the game.
Hang on a minute, Jared. 2004 is calling. It wants its cartoon back.
I am still, I mark it down in my calendar when new South Park comes out.
Those guys,
you know why?
They're brilliant.
Because they're spot on.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
And
they are
don't
not
care
scared.
Who they offend.
That's right.
Whether it be the right or the left or whoever. And they're spot on with their take on things. But last night it was about our man Tyler Harrison would love the episode because it was about real estate and realty agents. And I thought of Tyler the whole time I was watching it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Carmen, he started selling homes. It's so funny.
Man, that's...
They're ripping on the housing market. And at the end of the day, they lost their house and they have to live in this hot dog shack. Cartman's like, it's pretty cool. We live in a hot dog. Okay.
Why?
That, I had to watch something funny because the games last night made me mad. They lost. Both the girls and guys lost. But they're good games. The Trojanettes will start with them. They took on Navajo Lady Indians. Coach Ellison, he's got a squad there. A deep bench and really talented, too. And Canute came out. Stayed right with them, and I think they played the game they wanted to play by keeping it very low scoring, making Navajo try to shoot over that zone defense, which has always been key. And they came out flat. Only one Lady Indian was able to score in that first quarter. And when you have Taylor Butler hitting threes, you know it's going to be a good night. And that she started it off with a three. She was my player of the game, finished with 10 points. Abby Janning hit a three there in the first quarter, and it felt like, okay, they're playing into our hand here. This is exactly how we wanted this game to go. But then kind of a slow start in the second, and they outscored them 10-9, had a five-point lead at half, 18-13 at half. Again, some might look at that and go, oh, well, that doesn't – to me, it says that is exactly what Canute wanted to do. Keep it low scoring and make it a defensive battle because Canute plays really, really good defense. Problem was when Kylie Smith got to some foul trouble, Navajo took advantage there in the third quarter. They went on a 13-2 run in the third quarter. Eventually, Kylie Smith fouled out in the fourth quarter. And you think that might be it. But I credit Canute. They, even with Kylie handcuffed, literally on the bench and unable to do anything because of, she fouled out, Canute stayed right there. A couple chances, they got it within six, and you think, you know, if they can get a couple in, cut this thing down, you give yourself a chance, you can still play some good defense. They matched them point for point in the fourth quarter, playing catch-up the entire time, just couldn't get over the hump, eventually losing 40-34. Tough game, but again, Coach Ellison, he has a really good team over there. We like Timmy a lot, and talked to him a little bit before the game, and he said, I'm worried about this game. And because Canute, they coming in on that – it was a seven-game win streak before last night, and you can see why, because that's where it starts on the defensive end. Their star player was limited because of fouls. Think if that was wiped off, it might be a closer game and might be a different outcome. Who knows? Who knows? But they got to move on today, taking on Union City today at 6:30 over at Hydro Weekly. Game after that one was crazy. It felt like early in the first quarter that every possession mattered. Mm-hmm. It was Canute and Carnegie. And I said that early in the first quarter. I just had that feeling like, man, if you turn the ball over, it could be detrimental. And it was like that pretty much every possession, even to the final possession where Canute would lose 37-34. They had a shot at it towards the end where they tried to get a shot off. Canute, or Carnegie's defense was just athletic. That's how I would describe it. Very athletic, on you every time, not giving you a lot of space, not giving you a lot of looks. And Carnegie, they went 0-for-ever from outside the arc until the fourth quarter where they hit a couple threes, and I think that was the turning point where they started to, okay, it finally went through and they got a little bit more confident. They gave Canute all the opportunities with missed free throws under 40 seconds. Canute just couldn't capitalize. Again, they lose 37-34. So they too play Union City tonight, 8 o'clock over at Hydro. So both Canute girls and guys playing for their seasons tonight. I think they'll bounce back. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I know that's something Brock had talked about yesterday was the athleticism that Carnegie had.
And, they were athletic, for sure.
The differences that they could do, go from, you know, everybody having three or four guys out there at 6'4" or 5", and then play a bunch of guards, you know, multiple there.
I didn't give a lot of credit to our guys. I'm sorry. My player of the game was Colt Randall. He had 5 of his 8 points in the third quarter. Looked like a senior trying to take things over. Other guys scoring, Kyron Winery had 8 points, but he got a little bit of foul trouble, had 4 fouls. So he kind of had to pull back the reins a little bit. Also, Zach Potter with 8 points. He found his shot running the baseline, getting in the corner, running baseline, and he found that shot last night. I kind of hope that continues because he has the frame to work it down low like that, and that was nice to see. But again, guys, this came up short. You know, they call it an upset for a reason. They were pretty upset after the game, I could tell by their body language. And I think they'll bounce back today. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's all right. The other games yesterday afternoon, Eric stayed alive, both the Lady Bearcats and the Bearcats, as Eric's Girls blew away Maud 60-32. The Bearcats and Verdon played a pretty close game, and then kind of midway through the fourth quarter, Verdon got out of control, a couple technical fouls. Eric knocked down the free throws from it, and all of a sudden it went from like a 4-point game to a 10-point game just like that.
The final score, because I was watching some of it, and then I saw the final score like, whoa, they poured it on late.
Yeah, it's they took advantage of some mistakes, and the Bearcats win 47-33. So they both played today. Those games are at Chattanooga, 1:30 and 3. It'll be Eric and Maysville. Both of the games will be Eric and Maysville. Girls at 1:30, boys at 3, obviously. ParagonTV.com will have that action. Also at 1:30 today, you got the Leedy Girls. The Leedy Girls against Indiahoma in the Class B regional tournament. Those games are at Hammond. So 1:30, Leedy and Indiahoma. 1:30, you've got Eric and Maysville. Those girls' games at 3 o'clock. The boys from Eric will be playing Maysville. Also, I think Cheyenne Raiden. Where's that one at? Yep, Cheyenne Raiden versus Wacomas. That'll be a 3 o'clock game. They're up, where are they at? They're at Arapahoe Butler, aren't they? They're at Arapahoe, aren't they?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so that will be at Arapahoe.
Sorry about that.
At 3 o'clock. Let's see. Then the night, tonight, we got tons of games. The Hammond girls will play Corn Bible Academy. That's at 6:30. Followed by the Leedy boys in Indiahoma at 8. Those games are at Hammond. Obviously, ParagonTV.com is the place to watch. We've also got a doubleheader with Arapahoe Butler and Drummond, 6:30 and 8 over at Arapahoe Class A regional winners bracket games there. You mentioned Canute and Union City. Both of the girls and boys are that matchup, 6:30 and 8. That's at Hydro. And then 2A through 4A. 2A and 4A both get the district tournaments underway. Out at Merritt. It's Merritt and Fairview, and then on Big Elk TV. See, Merritt will be Paragon TV and right here on the radio on 98.1 FM. And then you've got the Big Elks and Elkettes hosting Woodward tonight, Big Elk TV, and also Cool 94 for radio. That's 6:30 and 8 o'clock there.
I put that whole schedule, as usual, on our Facebook page.
That's exactly where I'm looking at it. Now, the Paragon TV.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, with Paragon, links provided, everything.
Yep, Paragon TV Facebook page is
no
where
credit
I'm,
card required.
Going down, and it does a free to watch. I think it's interesting when you talk about you sensed that the boys' game was going to – every possession matters. And it's something we talk about every single year this time. And it's how short the games really are.
Yeah.
You know, 8-minute quarters, you know, the shot clock has been a topic we've asked everybody about. There's not one of those. And so, you know, good teams can even shrink that clock more.
That was evident in the Navajo-Canute game, girls game, in the fourth quarter. It was 4 minutes left to go in the fourth. They had a two-possession lead. And look at Coach Ellison. He's giving the motion like, slow her down. Mm-hmm. Slow her down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen that play before.
Oh, yeah. You knew what I was doing.
Absolutely.
Yes. But, yeah, I mean, and good teams know how to take advantage of that, right?
Yeah, and you know, some try and it works and some try and it doesn't. You know, how many times have you seen a team try to, you know, yeah, spread it out, you know, and you end up getting layups, or sometimes you turn it over, and it you just have to know your team and their abilities. You know, when you do that, and if you can make free throws and not turn the basketball over, it's so hard to come. I mean, you know, it's almost like I know it's 32 minutes long, but it's almost more like a 28-minute game because of the way that those into the quarters or into the game situations can work. You know, it's like in baseball. Feels like every game in the playoffs is like a 5.5-inning game or 6-inning game because the bullpens are so dominant that whoever – you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Like if you have the lead in the 6th inning, you feel really good about your chances because of the arms that you can put out there. It's kind of like that to me in these playoff games for basketball where that – you know, if you get the lead going in the fourth quarter, start the fourth quarter nice, maybe build to a 2 or 3-possession lead. There's really good teams. It's so hard to come back on them. Because they've drilled it and they know exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times you see teams come out of, you know, especially if it's, say, the better team or the supposed better team has the lead. A lot of times that means the other side has to come out of a zone.
Which is what happened last time.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then has to try to guard man-to-man, and then, you know, one guy gets beat off the dribble or one gal gets beat off the dribble. Next thing you know, the ball's in the paint, and it's easy to find people, you know, underneath the basket for layups and stuff like that. So it reiterates the fact, like you said, a 13-2 run for Navajo in the third quarter. Those things, you'll look up at the end of the game and go, man, if we just wouldn't have played that 2 or 3 minute stretch. I mean, that's all it takes.
It is.
It's like 2 or 3 minutes of kind of losing control of what's going on. And you look, and now for both Canute teams, both Eric teams are in the same spot. Leedy girls will be in this spot, Cheyenne boys. Now, if that happens today, a 2 minute stretch can end your season.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot of times it's that paper thin, the difference between winning and losing a lot of these games in the playoffs.
Yeah, we saw that, was it last year? Was it Hydro and Ceiling in semis?
Oh, yeah. Hydro started out, Hydro it was started like, out it's hot. Like 17-1.
Yeah, and then Ceiling settled down, but it was too late by then.
Way too late.
I mean, it was by then when they settled down, it was the second quarter, but they can't get over it because Hydro's just going to match them point for point at this
point. Exactly right. That's, you know, and then a couple years before, it was the other way around in the final. When it was Ceiling that started out, what, 20-0 or something that in the final of the four titles. Yeah, from the second quarter on, Hydro Weekly played them dead even. But they started out in such a hole that the game was over.
Yeah.
You know, in the better teams, the further you go along, the better teams you're playing, the harder it is to overcome a lot of. That's why, to me, last year, driving home from Chickasha, listening to you guys do that Class A boys final between Garber and Hydro Weekly, and Garber was ahead by 6 or 8 to start the fourth quarter, I had that. In my mind, it was over.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Garber was so good at playing that way. And for that was, to me, it was a monumental comeback for Hydro Weekly. Not because they came back necessarily from 8 down in the fourth quarter, because they did it against that team.
Right.
The defending titleists, the defending state champs, who love to play that way. And when you watch them do it, you think, oh my gosh, there's no way. They are so good at getting you spread out and taking care of the ball and making free throws and getting layups that, man, Hydro Weekly is in all kinds of trouble. And next thing you know, they just came storming back to beat that team. That was so impressive to me because of the way of who they did it against. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily just because they did it, but who they did it against and the way they were able to do that. That doesn't happen very often.
Oh, no. And it is why these teams are so good for so long, not just a season, but season after season, because they're conditioned to come out on those 17-7 runs or 20-0 runs, whatever, and then able to, okay, we know we can score bucket for bucket, but we got to start the game full on 110% both sides of the court. Get that big lead, and then my point is, that's why they're good tournament teams.
Oh yeah,
they get those big leads. And listen, that could be said for any sport. I mean, it's why there's football programs out there that, you know, they'll get big leads and then set down their starters in the third quarter, and the watch, rinse, and repeat.
Yep.
So once a team can get there, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, because the best will start up 5, and they stretch it to 10, and then next thing you know, it's 20.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of, like you say, coast and match. At that point, you can trade buckets and, you know, the
make it a boring game.
You'll never catch up.
Yeah.
And then you also see some teams that maybe start out fast, but they can't hit that second gear to increase that lead. Coach Stevens and I talk about that a bunch with the Big Elks, you know, in different games down the stretch here where they've started out nice and they, you know, up 8. But you have to be able to increase that out, you know, not just be satisfied with up 8 and make it 15.
Yeah.
And then you get the other team to kind of wobble a little bit and start questioning, okay, well, it's just not our night, or I mean, don't want to use the Q word, quit, but that's out there. You know, you see just, man, this just isn't our night.
See, maybe body try to, language,
yeah, oh yeah, and then,
facial
and,
expressions.
Sure, and then trying to make a 10-point shot that doesn't exist.
Right.
And next thing you know, you brick a couple long rebounds, lead to easy buckets on the other end, and a 15-point lead's now 25. And then the game is over. And the best teams are able to force the other ones to kind of play into their hands that way. Mm-hmm. And then on the same token, if the best teams fall behind a little bit like that, they have a knack for being able to settle in and realize, okay, we do have time. We don't have to get it all back at once.
Yeah.
You know, and they're able to keep that snowball from really going down the mountain on top of them in a lot of different situations. And that's why they are what they are. You know what I mean? It's just they're able to be able to play like that. So it's just the game. These playoff games are so fascinating with the different strategies. And like I said, it feels like a lot of times the game is over and you go back and you go, man, what happened? How did that – oh, yeah. You know, that two-minute stretch in the third quarter where so-and-so scored eight in a row, they just could never overcome. You know, and it's like you said, every possession
well, that's how I walked out of the gym last night. It looked like Canute was going to be okay. And then once Carnegie, again, when they hit those couple threes, and once they got a lead, even a two-point lead, I walked out like, well, how did that happen? You know, credit Carnegie. Mm-hmm. Credit Carnegie. They kept shooting. You know, and I was shocked we got to the fourth quarter without them hitting one from outside because they took a lot. And it wasn't like they're bad shooters. They just, I mean, they would, you know, that roll in, roll mm-hmm. out, halfway down, halfway out, or all the way out. Shot and just, you know, sometimes that can deflate a shooter, but they kept shooting. Finally got a couple to go in the fourth quarter, and then the rest is history.
Yeah, no, and
I mean, that they applied the pressure even behind mm-hmm. when they were behind. They applied the pressure to Canute, say, you got to answer our shots, even though we were down 2 points, 4 points, and that, you know, made it harder for Canute. So they kept applying that pressure to Canute, and then once Canute lost the lead, they did not stop with the pressure. Especially defensively.
Yeah, and then sometimes when those threes do go in like that in a close game, it almost feels like they ought to count double.
You oh, know, yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh, it's like a six-point shot. And then you make a couple of them, and it's like having 10 extra. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because of how much of a struggle it is a lot of times for either team to score, you see a couple of those go in, and it just completely flips the game on its head. And, you know, it's just the way that's kind of the playoff basketball. And it's why it's so intense and so much fun to watch
it
and
is.
Call because, yeah. you know, as it's happening, like you can sense they haven't made any shots from behind the arc. Uh-oh, one went in.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels so much more important than just 3 points.
Yeah, and it got, for me anyways, where I was – and maybe it happened with the guys on the court, but I was kind of lured into this false sense of security, like, oh, well, if they're going to keep shooting threes, they're going to keep missing them. So let them shoot the three. They haven't hit them all night. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when that first one went in the fourth quarter, like, oh, whoa, it finally went in. Well, hey, okay. And they made another one, like, oh, dear. You see what I'm saying? Kind of, and I wonder if that false sense of security was kind of resting in the guys on the court.
Well, and on the other side, I'm sure the Carnegie guys are thinking, we're way better shooter than this. The next one has to go in. I can't keep missing these.
Exactly.
I'm a better shooter than this. So there's a story about that in a book.
You flip a coin enough times, it's going to land on heads.
That's right. And there's a story about that in a book that I read back in high school about the mental side of golf, but it also went into different sports by Dr. Bob Rotella, one of the preeminent sports psychologists in the country. And he did a lot of his work at the University of Virginia, and he was talking to a guy that was kind of a walk-on to the program, but he was a great high school player. Hmm. And he was notorious I think it was a state title game, where he went 0 for 20 and then made the game-winning shot.
Huh.
And so the question for Dr. Rotella was, how did you have the nerve to take that last shot when you're 0 for that many?
Yeah.
And the kid said, it was simple. I'm way too good a shooter to miss 20 in a row. There's no way in the world I'm going to miss 21. And he said that started from number one. He missed the first one and thought to himself, well, I'm way too good a shooter to miss two in a row. That ain't happening. And it just built and built until he had the utmost confidence still with the last one, because there's no way I can miss 21 in a row. You know what I mean? But that's kind of the mental gymnastics that you have to play sometimes to continue to have that confidence. And I'm sure on the Carnegie side of things, they're thinking, man, we're way too good to be missing all these shots. We always make that. You know what I mean? To a certain extent.
Yeah, totally.
We'll run down the schedule one more time before we get out of here of what all is going on today. Paragon TV, Big Elk TV will be starting at 1:30 all the way through about, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. You'll have all kinds of options for high school hoops in the regional tournament for the small schools. Districts get going for the larger ones. All right, so last night, final games before the All-Star break in the NBA. So now it's the All-Star weekend. Games will kick back up next week at the end of the week. And then it's kind of a mad dash because it's not the halfway point of the season. Like the Thunder, they played 58 out of their 82 games, so just 24 left. And this is kind of that period where teams want to get things figured out and start finding the chemistry that they're going to need for deep playoff runs. In your mind, Jared, how many teams – are there in the NBA that can win the title?
Oh, good question. Let's think. One, two, three. I'm going like east to west coast in my mind. I'm going to go one, two, three, four. Five.
Okay, who?
Okay, yeah, that's that one. Brooklyn, Philly, Milwaukee, Denver, Phoenix.
Not Golden State. Interesting.
Yeah. Six. Golden State. Sorry, I just haven't heard much about Golden State, but they are winning.
Yeah. Second.
Yeah.
Best.
Yeah, they are. Maybe I haven't heard much about them because they're finally doing what they've been expected to do with a healthy team, kind of. So, yeah, I'll go with six. Who'd I leave out? Utah? I don't think they're in there.
No, I don't either. No. I think they're six as well.
Do you like Denver?
No. No.
And they've got an MVP candidate, but not to win at all.
Missing guys, Jamal Murray and some of those guys that they haven't had all year. I've got four in the East, maybe five. And only two in the West. Phoenix and Golden State to me are the only two that have any chance to win it in the West. In the East, I can't decide about the Bulls, but I think Miami, Philly, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn absolutely can win it. The Bulls, I'm not sure. DeMar DeRozan has been incredible. And maybe trying to kind of sneak into that Embiid, Jokic playoff or MVP talk.
Yeah.
With what he's been doing. I mean, Embiid's been off the charts. And Jokic just does what Jokic does, kind of to not much fanfare, to people that aren't really paying attention. But think about this for DeRozan. He's the first player in NBA history to have seven consecutive games with at least 35 and shoot 50%. I mean, to score 35 seven straight times is incredible.
Yeah.
But then to have the efficiency with the shooting numbers to do it each and every night of over 50%, that's not surprising that nobody's ever done it. But he has, and he's kind of – really, that Bulls team is one of those that everyone has kind of been waiting on with the moves that they've made over the past few off seasons to make this step, and they've done it. Tied atop the East with Miami. At 38-21, they're both two games ahead of Philly and Cleveland. You know, that's a nice story for the Cavs, but I don't take them seriously in the playoffs. You just don't see teams come out of nowhere in the NBA and make these huge leaps. It's kind of like you got to go in stages. Cleveland hasn't even been in the playoffs since LeBron, you know, and so now you got to – I don't take them seriously at all as a contender. I mean – Cleveland versus the Bucks in the first round. You telling me that Cleveland has any shot to beat Milwaukee in a seven-game series? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? There's no way.
No.
Even if they would have the home court advantage, no, it ain't happening. And so, you know, Chicago's the one that I'm kind of not sure. But everybody else, it's funny because for years now, ever since Oklahoma City has been a team, it's been West greater than East, right? And a lot of times by a large margin. The East has caught up and maybe even surpassed what's going on in the West. I mean, when you look at the standings, 28-30 is Atlanta, and they're in the final play-in game spot. 28-30 out West is like eighth. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's just a little bit different than what we're used to. Mm-hmm. But let's see. Let's see what Dylan, who he's got on the text line here. Philly, Milwaukee, Golden State, Phoenix, Brooklyn, if the man, and that's another thing. If the mandates lift, now Kyrie can play all games instead of just road games.
Well, if only the midterms were closer.
I know some of that stuff's starting to even lift in New York City. So by the time the playoffs roll around, if he was a Knick, I think he'd have a better shot. Uh-oh, flagged. Facebook flagged.
Oh, no. There, sorry. Right. Sorry about
but,
that.
And I think the playoffs in the East are going to be fascinating because a team like Boston, who struggled for a lot of the season, now they're 9-1 over the last 10. And they've been blowing some people out. So are they finally figuring it out? Toronto is a team that has been probably better than people thought. And then you got Brooklyn at setting at eighth. Nobody wants to play them. You know, I mean, Miami versus Brooklyn in the first round, the Heat don't want any part of that. That should be like the final, the Eastern Conference Finals,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, so you don't the way especially the Nets have kind of fallen once Harden got hurt, Durant's been hurt, Kyrie plays half the games. You know, they had a 2-8 stretch over the last 10. I think they lost like 9 in a row at one point.
Do you think a team like that, they just kind of – they don't care where they are in the playoff seedings. They just make the playoffs and then they turn it on. They just kind of float during the regular season.
100%. It doesn't bother them to go on the road.
They don't care.
Oh.
That's why, you know, even though they're eighth, that's why I have them. Because you just know Durant's going to turn it on.
That's the whole key.
Playoff time.
Is Durant healthy? And how many games can Kyrie play? If both of those are all of them, then nobody wants to play the Nets. They're probably the best team. I can't wait to see how Simmons integrates himself into this because, in my mind, it's going to be perfect, seamless. Because Durant has already shown that he doesn't necessarily need the ball in his hands to be effective. You know, he can kind of morph into whatever he needs to for the team, and he's just that great that he could do it. So now you've got a better balance on the floor and better kind of role identification with Kyrie having the ball and everybody else not necessarily needing it to be effective. Obviously, Ben Simmons is that. I mean, he's better without the ball. Don't give it to him, you know what I mean? And instead of needing it, and now on this team, he doesn't need the basketball to be effective. And Durant's shown that. Kyrie is great with it in his hands. So if it turns out that Durant comes back healthy and Kyrie can play all the games, I still think the Nets are the favorite.
Absolutely.
With the integration of Simmons and just the way that remakes the team. And it's, you know, Joe Harris hasn't been able to play. He's kind of their knockdown shooter guy. Okay, now we got Seth Curry. He fits that role. You know, it just – it feels like – roles have been established making this trade, whereas they really weren't before because of the need for the ball in both Harden and Kyrie's
like
hands all the time.
Square peg, round hole.
That's right.
Like, and now they found the
your
right
turn,
pick.
My turn, how do we play off each other and all that kind of stuff. That's really not the case anymore now that they've made this trade and got a guy. I mean, like I said, when it happened, they traded a guy that can't do anything without the ball in his hands to a guy that really can't do anything with it. And that's perfect for what they need. Mm-hmm. Out West, CP3's kind of a thumb. You hope for that guy's sake that that's not something that lingers. I haven't really seen exactly what that was as far as the injury, but you just hope it's not something that lingers around because that guy, of anybody in the league, that guy's been the one guy kind of snake bit at the end of seasons or in playoff runs with just little nagging injuries that won't go away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just seems like you're kind of waiting every year for the CP3 stretched hammy or broken finger or what, you know, whatever it turns out to be. And hopefully that's not what this is. Anything changed your mind that's happened this season to maybe move somebody up into the contender status, make you kind of reiterate your thoughts on them, or negatively go back the other way?
Clippers. Oh, both LA teams, right? That's where I'd start. They had high aspirations going into the season, and I'm talking about both of them as a whole here, and both have clearly disappointed up to this point. To the point where even, you know, when I talk about that floating around thing like Brooklyn's doing, I don't think that's the case with the Lakers. They've been trying to win these games, you know, despite the flaws of Westbrook and the pairing that's just not working. Still got LeBron, now Anthony Davis out with injury.
Oh, no way. That's never happened before.
Anthony Davis out with
injury. Yeah. Oh, that's what a shocker. I the guy's been such a... He hasn't been brittle at all in his career. I can't believe he's out with an injury.
But it's like what we feel about, you know, Durant with the injury and how Brooklyn is. They'll get back once playoff kick in. They feel like a favorite. That doesn't feel like for the Lakers for me. And the Clippers, I don't know what's going on over there.
Well, they're just hurt.
It's really hurt.
Kawhi hadn't played. Paul George is out. I mean,
it feels like Kawhi hasn't played in like three seasons.
It's because he really hasn't ever since the Toronto season. You know what I mean?
Has he really worn a Clipper jersey? I mean, he just feels like he has not. This whole thing where he pries Paul George away from OKC and forces Oklahoma City to start their rebuild. And you think, well, Clippers are going to start winning titles in La La Land, and they haven't even sniffed it.
No.
When is that going to happen?
The one year that he actually did kind of play was the one year nobody paid attention because it was down in the bubble coming out of COVID.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're right. It doesn't. It seems like
how come no one?
It seems like
that
a decade.
Marriage?
It seems like a decade because they hadn't played.
They hadn't played together.
Yeah, that's they really hadn't got to see what that would look like because they haven't been out there together much. You know,
it's odd.
It was like kind of like the trio in Brooklyn. They were on the same team for a year and a half, and they played 16 games together.
Yeah.
It feels like that with the way the Clippers are, and you
think
wonder
about Paul George and what, or Paul George and Kawhi have been together. Westbrook has been to Houston, to Washington. Now he's in L.A. He might be on another team before these two actually play a reasonable amount of games together.
That's right. And obviously, OKC fans are watching.
And then the rebuild might be done for Oklahoma City. Yeah. It could be a Western Conference Finals of Clippers and OKC before they finally start to play together.
You hope that's not the case this year because Oklahoma City owns the Clippers pick.
Right.
About 2 weeks ago, that was looking a little bit more promising than it is now. They're eighth. You know, depending on how the play-in games would work, you know, is that a lottery pick? Is it just outside the lottery? Obviously, you want it to be a lottery pick because even though the chances would be minute with them kind of at the back of the lottery, the chances still would exist that that pick could turn into something better than just the 12th, you know, or whatever pick, 14th pick or whatever, just because you have a better chance in than zero chance out,
right,
outside of the lottery. But the Clippers, it's really kind of a testament to what they've built there to me because they don't have Paul George, they don't have Kawhi, and yet here they are, prodding along as a team that's right there in the mix to be in the play-in games in the playoffs. Not six losses behind Denver, so that's probably a bridge too far to get all the way to sixth. But you know, the closer that they can come, the better. Obviously, the different matchup. I would imagine that seventh spot, just looking at it, Minnesota's there. That's a coveted spot because of who you get to play. You avoid the Lakers and LeBron. You avoid the Clippers, and you get either Portland or maybe San Antonio, New Orleans, one of those teams that's outside looking in right now. So if you're the Timberwolves, you want to stay at seven because then you avoid the LAs. Because as much struggle as there has been, and there's been a ton of it in both Staples Center's teams or whatever it's called now, that's still not a matchup you want to have to play.
Yeah.
Because of the pedigree of what – LeBron is, and Westbrook to a way smaller degree, but still, you'd rather play Portland without Dame than the Lakers with those guys or the Clippers. I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Clippers do. Where they're at now, I think the likelihood of Paul George actually coming back and playing what about Kawhi? You know what I mean? If they were down below, then you could see the, okay, let's throw in the towel. We're not going to risk these guys getting hurt in the last 10 games of the year because we're going nowhere. Is that still the case? Or, you know, have they resigned themselves to the fact, okay, we're going to be a play-in team. We really aren't going to do any damage this year. Let's make sure these guys are healthy to start next year. That's obviously the hope if you're Oklahoma City and with that pick. But it'll be interesting to see what they do. Mm-hmm. How much of a chance would you give Josh Giddey to be the Rookie of the Year right now?
Little. He'll get votes. I just
team success being the major problem.
Team success, small market.
I mean, Cleveland's a small market, smaller market, but they're also fourth in the East, and obviously Evan Mobley
that helps.
Would be right there. To me, it's kind of a three-team race.
I mean, when I see what Giddey's doing, and it's awesome, and when I see it on the Twitters and Facebooks and all that, what's your natural human reaction? To see what other people think about it, and then you click on the comments or the retweets, and the more I see is, who? Who is this guy? I've never heard of him. Who? So let's face it, if he was on East Coast, West Coast.
Or well, even if the Thunder were good.
Even if the Thunder were good, yes. That helps too. That definitely helps.
I mean, the other two guys that are...
I'm not saying he's not deserving.
Yeah, I mean, he's right up there.
He should be right up there and considered.
Top three would be, to me right now, would be Mobley, Scotty Barnes at Toronto. He's been good. And that team, there you, another one that's going to be either in the playoffs or in the play-in on the Eastern on the East, in the Eastern Conference, excuse me. And then Giddey. You know, he's putting up numbers that can't be ignored. You know, the triple-double the other night, his third straight, only one rookie ever has done that. This is the Big O, Oscar Robertson. You know, mm-hmm. He's starting to – the things he's doing individually – are unheard of almost. You know, when it's just you and Oscar Robertson on a list, it's pretty good. Yeah, you know what I mean? But like you said, the exposure, Oklahoma City's not going to have that primetime TNT Thursday night to kind of introduce him to the rest of the country down the stretch. Right. They're just not, because nobody cares, because they've lost so many games and they're doing what they're doing. Who would you have as the MVP?
Probably Embiid. Right?
100%.
Yeah. For me. Jokic is maybe involved, but Embiid right now is having a good year.
Yeah, he's been awesome. And especially when you think about having to kind of carry the team because of Ben Simmons not doing anything.
Yeah.
He's had nine games of 40 and 10 rebounds. The only players with more over the last 30 years, were MVPs. Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
There you go.
Harden.
You
had
hope
10
the
of those
Harden thing doesn't. I mean, Do you want Harden being there? If you're a Sixer fan, do you want the load to be taken off of Embiid, or you say no, keep doing what you're doing because it's working? You just hope it doesn't mess with.
I think it would
not just team chemistry, but with what Embiid is doing.
I think the idea. And it makes sense the way they play, is that you don't necessarily like switch the focus off of Embiid to Harden, but it makes it easier for Embiid to do what he's doing because of Harden, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, instead of working pick and roll with Tyrese Maxey, he's doing it with James Harden. You know, and the threat from the guy with the ball or whatever is totally different to the defense with Harden as opposed to some of those other guys. Now,
right.
It's amazing that he's been able to do what he's done and to carry that load the way he has. And almost kind of flown under the radar a little bit for a lot of people. Now that changes, obviously, with the Harden trade. Who's in the finals? Because I agree with you. Embiid, clearly the MVP for me. Who do you have in the finals? And who wins it all?
Well, I think our Eastern Conference Finals is going to be the winner. I'm torn between Brooklyn and 76ers. I want to say 76ers, but I feel like Brooklyn's going to get there. So I'll put Brooklyn in there versus Golden State. Boy, that'd draw a lot of ratings. I mean, what little ratings they have left, but
yeah,
to see Durant go against Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
I think Golden State is, they'll get back there. Don't ask me a winner just yet. We're just at the All-Star break.
I think it's a rematch.
Okay.
Phoenix from last year. Milwaukee. Phoenix and Milwaukee.
Think Phoenix is going to overcome it this time?
I want to see CP3, though.
I see the glimmer in your eyes.
I want to see CP3.
That's what you want to happen, but
oh, 100%.
You don't want to say it just yet.
Phoenix is going to have the home court advantage if they get there. They're so far ahead of everybody.
They are good.
Any chance for Memphis?
Not this year.
They're the young ones.
They're coming.
They're kind of in the Cleveland boat.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, they're coming.
Oh, Jared. We've buried the lead of the show.
Well, let's see here. We talked about the high school basketball from last night. We covered the NBA. What did we forget?
Today at 1:30 marks to the second the 11th year of Wyatt Ray Compton.
Oh!
Being on the earth. Happy birthday.
I'm not going to say you forgot.
To my main man, Wyatt.
11?
11.
Wow.
11 years old.
You are.
To El Compton.
You are getting closer and closer to having a teen. Now, is he a preteen now?
I guess.
Does 11 make it a preteen? I don't know.
I don't know.
That's funny. I was giving birthday shout-outs last night. A buddy of mine, I call him a buddy. He's a guy. Just turned 12. I thought, how are you? And I saw him last night. I was like, how are you almost a teenager, man? How is Wyatt?
Was it Connor?
Not Colton. His name's Colton.
Okay. So Connor's birthday was the other day, too, from
my daughter, he's a good guy. He's kind of one of those. He's a good ball player, baseball, basketball. Sweetest kid, and my daughter said, yeah, he'll give me a hug every day at school. He said,
hey, step off, Colton.
Well, no, but then she says, he's kind of like a big brother, isn't he, Dad? It's like, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he is. He's a good guy.
But so Wyatt Compton, 11 years old. And also today, also 11, Keaton Fennell.
Sharing birthdays, cool.
Sharing birthdays, Keaton and Wyatt both 11. So happy birthday to those two boys.
Any birthday plans for Wyatt? I know tonight you're occupied, but.
We've already done those things a week because he's headed with his dad this weekend.
Okay.
So last Friday, my wife, who sometimes has great ideas, this was one of them, but I think there was a point where she regretted this idea. I was in Newcastle, so it was fine with me, whatever. I didn't have to go through the torture of what happened. She decided it'd be a good idea for five of his buddies to have some pizza and go over and watch Spider-Man in the movie theater.
Okay.
By herself, by the way. Her and six dudes, six ranging from 12 to 10-year-old boys. So that probably wasn't. And then, hey, by the way, I'll spend the night. When I got off the air.
What?
Oh, yeah. When I got off the air, I called her to see how things were going. And it sounded, I can't even describe to you the sound that I was hearing in the background. I was more than 100% positive that our house was going to just be crumbled down by the time I got there. I mean, I don't know if they were playing a game where they all decided to just run and jump into the wall, but that's what it sounded like.
But I don't know, man. I got two girls. I don't know how, I would never know this, how a house full of 10, 11-year-old boys would
Well,
be.
It sounds exactly like a house full of 8-year-old girls because they're all just giggling like little girls.
I've had five little girls stay the night at one time, including my kids. So three of Katie's friends. It was for her birthday. A bunch of little giggling. And,
yes.
But it was fine. Allie was good with it. She woke up, made him pancakes.
Oh, I made an unbelievable breakfast the next morning. That was my contribution to the party. Bacon, eggs, biscuits, gravy.
Yeah,
sausage
I bet
gravy.
You had to make a lot of food for those growing boys.
They wiped out the entire 2 pounds of bacon before I ever was even able to grab it. I got one little slice. And here's the truth. Have you tried to buy biscuits lately?
Not me personally.
Go try to buy biscuits in the can.
Let me guess.
You can't. They're gone.
That's.
And so we only had one, because that's a staple at our house. We always have four or five cans of biscuits hanging out. And there was only one. And we went to three different Walmarts to try to find biscuits. Couldn't. We found a couple of, Wyatt and I were able to find a couple over there at Sayre on Wednesday when we were looking for some other stuff. But, yeah, so we... You know, the biscuits and gravy thing didn't go over as well
Thanks.
As I'd
now
hoped.
Now all I'm going to think about is I'm going to want biscuits now.
You can probably find some frozen ones. But we go with a canned biscuit around our joint.
That's today's America. Thank you.
Possum.
I mean, we're already going to get flagged, so thanks, Biden. Thanks.
Yes, Possum, I do remember get thrown into the wall at Phoenix. That was a long time ago.
That's a whole nother story. You only have 2 minutes.
That's right. Do you have the schedule pulled up?
I do.
Run that down.
I do. Okay. I'm going to go in chronological order here. This is all today. And again, my personal motto for Paragon TV is it all starts on Paragon.
It's kind of like we're Paragon it.
We are Paragon it. For free.
Oh, by the way, shout out to the National Weather Service on Wednesday night for never making any of those storms severe in our area.
Yeah.
I forgot to do that yesterday.
ParagonTV.com, that's where it all starts. You're going to be able to watch all this stuff starting at 1:30. Leedy and Indiahoma girls in the Class B Area 1 regionals staying in that area. Hammond boys in CBA at 3 o'clock. Then later in the evening, I'm just going to stay in areas. Later in the evening, Hammond girls taking on Corn Bible Academy at 6:30. Leedy boys will wrap things up over there, taking on number 7, Indiahoma. I anticipate that one to be a good one. That's at 8 o'clock. Class B Area 3 at 1:30. Eric girls taking on Maysville. Eric boys will take on Maysville right after that. Class A Area 1 regional, Cheyenne Raiden boys taking on Waucomas at 3 o'clock. And then at night in the same area, Arapahoe-Butler girls play Drummond. That could be a good one. Number 12 versus 19. And number 5, Arapahoe-Butler taking on Drummond boys at 8 o'clock. Class A, Area 3 regionals, Canute versus Union City girls and boys. Both Canute and Union City over in Hydro at 6:30 and 8 o'clock playing for their seasons. Class 2A, Area 1, they get things going in the playoffs in the district. Merritt taking on Fairview at 6:30 and 8 o'clock. And right here on the Sports Animal. And Class 4A Area 1 District will be Elk City taking on Woodward. That's going to be on Cool94BigElkTV.com. I think I got it all covered right there. That's 6:30 tip for both girls, followed by the boys.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Per Pete Thamel.
Okay.
Arnett girls tonight. That's right. Arnett girls play in the regional
they're
winners
not on
bracket.
The Paragon Network,
that's right.
But we keep an eye on them because they're a good team. And they're one of my state tournament teams. Go ahead.
Breaking news.
What do you got?
Per Pete Thamel. The college football playoff is expected to announce today that it is continuing as a 4-team playoff for the next 4 years through the length of the original contract.
Wow, that was a lot of anticipation for nothing. That's what she said.
And with that, we can't end it any better than that.
I think we all knew that was coming.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So now, how much worse does Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC look with the prospects of only a 4-team playoff for the next 4 years? That'll be a subject we can talk about on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.